Tonight we're going to have a message on our gathering together. I'd like you to turn to one verse, and then it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Gathering. So have you ever been to a birthday party? Christmas? Family get-togethers? How many enjoy family get-togethers? Let's see, coffee, talking, words, friends, maybe board games, music, interaction with each other, relaxing, talking. Not every family is so functional that they have such a good time. How about it? Are those that didn't raise their hands maybe fit in that category. On the earth, we gather together. Let's see if we have a diagram here. Let's see. Here's the earth. There is a gathering together that is coming. That is not on the earth. Where is it? It's just above the earth, but it seems to be in this atmosphere, which I believe, isn't it, 70 miles deep, our atmosphere around the earth. On the earth, we gather a lot of different places, conferences. Pastor Aidan O'Connell is in Nepal tonight, gathering with the saints there. Monday night, a group of us fly to India, and we have a conference there for 4 days. Then we go to Nepal for a 3-day conference. The gathering in the atmosphere, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. What gathering that will be? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Please. For this was a day of prayer for the ministry. Tomorrow, by the way, is National Day of Prayer for the United States. Abraham Lincoln asked that the last Thursday of the month of November would be dedicated to repentance and Thanksgiving. And it became our Thanksgiving holiday, where we hear a lot about Thanksgiving and turkey and the pilgrims, but very little about repentance. But that was what he said, and you can read it in a historical document. But chapter 15, verse, let's see, we have verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, he means our bodies in the graves. We in heaven, when we die, we leave our body, we fly away. Psalm 90, verse 10. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we are with the Lord, but our bodies deteriorate in the ground. But he's going to raise the body. Those that have died and gone before us, those bodies will not, he calls it sleep, but we shall all be changed. And that's the change in our mortal body, glorified, our DNA that he has written in a book, Psalm 139, that it'll be you raised from the dead. Your body, your body. You are with God in heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, please turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15. For This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And isn't that exciting? The Lord is coming. Wow. Honestly, wow, the Lord is coming. I mean, the kingdom is coming. I mean, radical changes are coming. I mean, maybe animals will be talking in the millennium. I mean, we don't know. They will not be eating each other. We know that in Isaiah chapter 11. I mean, there will be peace on the earth. There will be no more war, 1,000 years. There'll not be legislatures and presidents and, judicial branch of government. We have executive, judicial, and legislative branches of government. This is change. Men will not be governing themselves as we know it today. There'll be a new government, and it will be Christ's government on the earth, delegated through his people, and some will rule over 5 cities and some over 10. Give a shout out to the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. I'll take a little village down the road. It's okay. Whatever you got for me, it doesn't matter. We are not lusting for authority or power. We just recognize a new age is coming, a new kind of world that is like this one, but it'll be changed. And the first evidence of the change is him, Jesus, raised from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, that he ate food, that apparently walked through a wall, that he disappeared and appeared. Well, the saints of God will be like that. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means that the people that are in the grave already, and we are alive still, we don't have to die for them to be raised from the dead. Because while we are living, if he was to come now, he would change us without having had to die. Okay? This generation, if he comes in our time, we don't have to die in order for him to come. We're not going to be preventing this from happening. But verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive. Now that raises the question, did Paul believe he would be alive at the time of the rapture? Apparently. We, which are alive, the dead in Christ go first, and we, Paul, that are alive and are here, we shall be, as he says here, verse 16, there 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There we have our little picture up here on the screen. We'll be caught together up in the clouds. Now, how this works exactly, the Greek word there, or the Greek word where it talks about meeting him in the air, is the air mountain level, mountain height, and lower. So he will come back close to the earth, and we will meet him there. What kind of gathering will it be? What will that gathering be like? Well, look up. Here's our gathering in Baltimore right now, tonight. We have a gathering here. And what do we like about our gatherings? Why do we gather? What draws us to gather together? And I made a short list for us tonight. So we'll talk about that. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, how many worked 8 hours today, 10 hours today? You've been on the highway. How many of you had a tough day at work yesterday? How many trials have you been in the last few weeks, months, years? I am so proud of our people when I see Christ in people, when I see God's people manage their life through Him, by the grace of God and the faith that we live in. We are being prepared in God's will and God's way to meet Him in this great gathering. But there are other little gatherings. There's the, Pastor Steve mentions the Ravens football. Ravens, we get the little gathering, the birthday party in the family. But there isn't a gathering like when you and I gather and drink the same spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. When we gather together in the name of Christ and for His purpose and to honor and glorify Him. I love the football game or the birthday party. I love Christmas time, and I love to meet with people and have a chat, and all that can be very pleasant. But it's a beautiful thing when we that fear God meet often one with another. We listen to what the Bible is saying. We take it to heart. We tremble at His word, Isaiah 66 and verse 2. And God ministers to us and prepares us, and we anticipate the great gathering. Oh, the great gathering in the air. The great one. These are mini gatherings. These are beautiful gatherings that we have. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Beautiful. Ephesians 2. Wow, didn't we love the young people singing tonight? Don't some of us just envy them? No, I'm sorry. We just love their vitality, joy, freedom, great voices, precious people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you that are in teen challenge, are no more strange. You that are teen challenge, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We were outside the family of God. We had no real, we were vagabonds and wanderers in the earth. We all have been this way in our lives. We didn't know where we belonged exactly. Maybe wandering around a little bit, looking for our place in life. Maybe you got a job and you thought that was good, and then maybe it didn't work out so great. You had a group of friends over here or over there, and you kind of belong, but then actually maybe not. You got offended or hurt or something happened, or they left you or kicked you out of their company or something like that. I don't know. But with God, we were strangers and foreigners. We were without a home, without a covenant, and without a promise. That's the meaning there. It's related to verse 12, that you at that time were without Christ. Do you remember when you were without Christ? Anybody here? Do you remember when you were without? I don't want to remember my sin. I don't remember my sin, but I remember when I was without Christ. Do you remember it? Remember when you were a slave in Egypt? Remember when you didn't even know the name of God? Remember when you didn't have any real comfort in your heart? You didn't really know about eternal life. You stayed away from any conversation about heaven or hell or even death. People don't talk about it because we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay, we went to this gathering over here, went to this little gathering over there. We were in that school. We were in the sixth grade over there, Boy Scouts over here, and those little gatherings. But oh, wow. Now look at verse 19, or 20. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What? We're built like a house upon the foundation of God. God has built us on a foundation of doctrinal thinking, of God's mind, Christ being the chief cornerstone, the apostles and prophets being the teachers, with our Bible right in front of us. Amazing. Oh, this prepares us for the great gathering, that one up in the sky, the great gathering that is going to happen one day. These gatherings are like, let's say, a spiritual birthday party. And then a car pulls up and takes takes one of our brothers, like Camden. Guy pulls up in the car, and an angel comes out of the car and says, "Camden, I'm coming for Camden." Camden's in the birthday party, and the angel says, "Oh, no, I'm taking Camden to a bigger party." Camden gets in the car, and he's gone. He leaves this world. Where does he go? A better gathering. But it is like this one. He goes to a better place, but it is like this one. And there are similarities to this one that God says we are ambassadors in this world, representing a far country. And we have a message and a sound and even a smell and an appearance and something about us that resembles a far country that Christ came from and sent us into this world. But it gets better. Look at verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Fitly framed. We are fitly framed, dovetailed, locked in like those building blocks, the Legos. Is it Legos? Legos and Lincoln log homes back in our day, where there's notched little sticks and you build and it's all fitly framed. That's what this gathering is. God has framed us together. You might say, "I don't see it. I don't understand it." Keep coming to church. You'll get it. Keep coming. The Spirit will teach you. Keep following. He will refresh you. He will wake you up. He will help you. He will guide you in it. Absolutely. Guys, we are going to a great gathering. Then it says, it grows. Usually buildings don't grow, but this one grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Ask your neighbor for a second. Have you grown in the last year? I don't mean physically. Let's leave it. That's privacy. That's private. But what about it? Have you grown? Have you recognized it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk to your neighbor for a second. Have you grown? Okay, what's the answer? What's the common answer? Yes, okay. Could it also be? I don't know. I don't know. I hope so. I can't. It's hard to evaluate it or judge it, but listen to this. If this is the body of Christ and the body grows, does the hand not grow? So you have a bit, you have a man, but a little hand. But okay, is that normal? That's abnormal. That the body, when we grow, all the parts are increasing with the increase of God. It would be a disease or a sickness if the body grew, but one part did not grow. But we all are drinking the same Spirit. Our God, our Father, is taking care of each and every one of us. And I want to encourage everybody here in this gathering, where there isn't any other like it. I don't mean greater grace. I mean any time we gather in Jesus Christ's name. We are gathering in his name. It's recorded in a book, And he takes great pleasure in each and every one of us that show up and actually live this way. In whom all the building, verse 22, in whom also all the building to get builded, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Why am I so glad? I wrote this today. Why am I so glad being with this group of people, this church? Why am I so happy being here with you? It's a good question. I have a little list. Ask your neighbor three reasons. Go ahead. Check it out. See what you can come up with. See if your list is better than my list. Why? Okay, here's a couple things. Remember Thanksgiving times? Maybe you've had this in your childhood, maybe not. Thanksgiving, mom and the turkey. People come, dress up a little bit, just not a lot, but Texas Greg overdoes it. And we dress up, there's turkey, and there's the home and the atmosphere in the house, and it's a beautiful time. Preparation, purpose, focus, definition. You know that God has put us together, not by accident, but he's prepared something for us. He has something for us. He's done it on purpose at great expense. He gave his son so that we could be here in this gathering. He says that he loves us and he gave us a new heart. We have David's heart. What a beautiful song that is, David's heart. Isn't it? How does it go? Thanks a lot. Okay, move on. Let's move on. I turn over to these guys. I'm sure they need a little more definition, but that's okay. Yeah, they're awesome. Give them a hand. No, that's enough. That's enough. Cut it off. Hey. Pride is a terrible thing. Okay, so, you know, give them a hand. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Okay. All right, here we got to. Why do we enjoy this group of people? Because they have David's heart. They have a heart after God. Where did you get it? You got it from God. Making God the center. That's why I like to be with this group of people. Number two, these people are tested. They have been through some amazing trials. If you get to know some of the people here and you think about their lives, that they have been tested like Abraham was tested when he gave his son. It was a huge trial. He was tested and he offered up his son, and that was enough for God. God is saying, he's my friend. I am able to gather together with the friends of God. I'm able to touch people that have touched God. I'm able to be with them who've been through the trials of fire. And I have so much respect for them and love for them. The third reason I love to be here, because these are our friends. Friends stick close. Friends are faithful and loyal. God has made them our friends. I got to show you one verse. It's shocking. Turn to Exodus 32. God was a friend to Abraham, but then when it came to Moses' prayer, Moses' intercession, he said this one statement. God said to Moses, when God was going to turn aside from the Jewish people, Moses said, no. Moses interceded, and then the Lord said to him, look at the verse 10, it says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Isn't that amazing? Let me repeat it. God's going to destroy the Jewish people. Moses said, hold it. No, you can't do that. And God said, let me alone. Let me alone that I might do that. Let me alone. Moses said, no, you cannot do it. Well, this is remarkable. Without explaining it theologically and extensively, just simply, it means that we have power with God. We are able to ask. And it might be of such a nature that we are in the Holy Spirit interceding, and this is actually God's mind. On the other hand, God, by way of anthropopathism, he's telling us in human language his feelings. And he's saying, I would like to destroy them. But another part of God who is in Moses, the Holy Spirit, praying to God, saying, no, you can't. And God is saying, leave me alone. And Moses is saying, no, I can't leave you alone. It would contradict your nature if you were to destroy them. I am here on the earth not to leave God alone. We are here on the earth to be interacting and engaged and interceding and asking and weeping and caring and rejoicing. Question, what is the value of these gatherings that are on the earth that are coming before that great gathering that is in heaven? It is so that we would be friends of God. That we would ask God and he would say yes. We'd ask him again, and it might seem like there isn't any answer, but we would be in the Holy Spirit persevering in prayer, pleading or asking or believing or insisting. That's why we love to be together, because this is where God dwells. We are a temple growing like him, in him, and we are like him. The fourth reason I love you and love to be here and you love me is doctrinal thinking. We recognize what and where we have attained in life because we have chosen to think with God at the expense of our own lives. I can think a certain way, but I give it up to God, and I want God's will. I have personal preferences, but I surrender them to a higher purpose. I make a silly example. I like Mexican food. We don't eat Mexican food, so what am I going to do? I will surrender my preference, my own ideas, my right to something higher, to God. I'll let God have his way. Maybe I do not get the Mexican food, but I get something greater. Maybe I don't like this or I don't like that, but I am surrendering my personal preference to something that is noble and high and true and valuable. We are in the temple of God, and the temple of God is our calling and our purpose, and it is preparing us to meet him in the air. Isn't it good? Let's see. Lastly, we can listen together, talk together, hear. We are social creatures. I'm not to be left alone in an apartment or left alone with a television. And that's what I'm missing tonight, my TV. My television. My favorite programs. Well, I've had the fortunate blessing of living actually for decades without a television because of living in Europe where I may not understand the language. So it doesn't help me now. But I don't care about it. I'm just trying to say something. We can listen and talk with wisdom. We can cry together. And there's been a lot of tears in this chapel. We've had some teenagers go home early, in our view, the perfect will of God, but early from human viewpoint. And we gathered here that night, and we all came and were weeping and embracing the families and loving each other. We cry together when we hear bad news. We cry together when we hear about broken hearts. We cry together in life, because life is like that. Life is hard sometimes, and we may go through fiery trials, but then it's not over. We also rejoice together. And this part I like. We are goofy together. We have liberty. We are allowing ourselves to be goofy, to have a good time. Hey, it's fun. We're made to laugh. Not only be social, but to interact and also to be free. And you really can't make such great mistakes here around us in the way of our manner and our fellowship, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But beware if you sin, if you violate yourself, if you are rebellious, then your sin will find you out. And we are not happy about it with ourselves or anybody else. We are not policemen. We let people live their lives. But on the other hand, if you come here and if the Holy Spirit will do his work with us, and he will, if the Holy Spirit will answer our prayers and do his deep work, and he will, then the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. Where will that happen in this world? What bar room would you go into and you get convicted of sin? What house would you go to where you get convicted of sin? What family would you belong to where you would get convicted of sin? What place could you go to where you would have a pretty good, be like talking to the doctor? And that's a beautiful thing. You go see the doctor. Is he your enemy? No, he's your aid, your helper, your counselor. He's the physician. He's the one that wants to have you live and grow and be normal. So he says to you, sits down, do you have any pains? And you go, no, you lie. No, I don't have any pains. Okay, why? Okay, are you afraid of the doctor? Yes, I'm afraid of the doctor. But how about your mother? How about your heavenly father? You go to the place where you can talk straight up and be very honest with him. Some people's prayers are prayers that are superficial and empty, because they are not coming to God with an open heart and saying, well, just be quiet before God. Say, God, I'm hurt. You know what's going on. I'm ripping angry at you. I'm ripping angry at them. I'm angry at myself. And you know about it. And let the doctor say, you're right. I had to put you through the CAT scan. I see what's inside you. And I'm telling you, you got a problem. And I'm the good physician. And that's what we need. And then lastly, family affection lies at the root of any well-ordered society. Family affection is at the root of any healthy, well-ordered society. Well, we have dysfunctional families more so nowadays, so where will I learn to be loved in the church? Where will I learn to be listened to in the church? Where will I learn that I can be forgiven in the church? Where will I get words of wisdom and exhortation and deep encouragement? It's in the church. This is why we gather often, and all the more as we see the day approaching, that Christ is coming again. And this gathering is one birthday party, and we're going one by one to the bigger birthday party until that trump blast happens and the voice of an archangel and the shout of God, and we will all go up in the twinkling of an eye and meet him in the air. One great cause, last part, one great cause of backsliding is a lack of personal prayer and openness with God, and get in the habit of being open with God all the time, like this type of thing, you know, like here I am, Lord, and let you do business with God, let God do business and replace a stony heart with a heart of flesh. When you come to the church, come like, don't hide anything. Come, before you come, don't hide anything. Make your confession known to God. Maybe sit in the parking lot before you come in, or an hour before, the day before. Maybe you need to do it, maybe not. Maybe you don't need to do it. But you come like saying, Lord, this is the gathering that counts. This is the gathering. Every meeting is valuable. This is the gathering that you are recording. This is the gathering that's preparing us for the great big gathering in the sky. And by the way, where do we go after we are gathered in the sky? Where do we go when we are here? We go to heaven, don't we? And then the earth goes through this terrible tribulation period. And then we return 7 years later or so with Christ and his kingdom for the millennial reign. Prayer, I think that's another message. That's it for tonight. The one great cause of backsliding is when I don't have a prayer life. And then I come, but I have things in my heart that God has to deal with. So I may not drink the same anointing. I may not drink the same spirit. I may be under the chastening of God. God is saying, come unto me, trust me, lean upon me, confess your sin unto me. I forgive you immediately. Immediately you are forgiven. I am here to build you up, restore your soul, and build you up in me so that you can be prepared, built up, and edified and grow in your faith. Again, I am so impressed with God's people and this particular assembly. I am so blessed by it, but I think we got miles to go. We got places to think. We got a whole Thanksgiving dinner all prepared by our Heavenly Father in Luke 14. And we're sitting here and we're getting ready. And come, Lord Jesus, come. We're ready to go. In your name, amen. And the Lord said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Stop it. Stop it. Wow. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to be intercessors and ask. We want big ticket items. We want things to happen. You are patient. You are kind. You are working. You are present. We are growing. We will not be ashamed. Every time we meet, it's recorded. I mean, that record is in heaven and sure. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here tonight who doesn't have Jesus Christ, tonight's your night. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. I need you. Save me. I am convicted of my sin. Or I realize I'm a liar. I'm in trouble. I'm lost. I'm a wanderer. I'm a stranger. I'm without God, without Christ. But tonight I'm saying, Jesus, save me. Anyone, raise your hand. Anyone saying that prayer, Jesus, save me. I need you and I want you. Anyone, there's a hand behind you, Leah, right behind you. Anybody else? Anyone? Yes, there's another hand. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Beautiful. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. Born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.